Los Angeles recently opened more than 40,000 bank accounts and deposited $50 in each one for every first grader in the Los Angeles Unified School District. These children's savings accounts are specifically for college, and they've been growing in number around the country over the past 15 years. New York City, San Francisco, and Cambridge, Massachusetts have them. So do Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Maine. And research shows even small amounts of savings can open up possibilities for kids who might ordinarily never be able to save for college. William Elliott is a professor of social work at the University of Michigan who researches college savings accounts, and he joins us now. Hello there.
Hello.
So some places like LA and New York are funding these accounts for kids regardless of their income. Other places focus on lower income kids. What is the impetus for this? What's the big idea behind creating these accounts for children at a young age?
Really, it is, in most cases, to try to solve the problem of educational inequality. And so it's not surprising that some of the programs were started for lower income kids, because that's the primary focus, is to reduce gaps in educational outcomes.
I read in some places that if the parents or family add nothing to some of these accounts, by the time that the kid is ready for college, they might be worth $3,000 or $4,000, which clearly is not going to, you know, go a long way towards funding a modern college account. Are they still worth it, even if the account is there and doesn't get any extra money?
What we found is that these accounts, even with small amounts of money in them, can have a lot of other positive effects beyond paying for college. So, for example, in an experiment that Center for Social Development is running, they found that it has positive effects on social-emotional development, positive parenting practice, reduced maternal depression, improved parental educational expectations, improved college enrollment chances, completion, and also better post-college outcomes, meaning that they tend to have more likely to have savings, stocks, bonds, and other types of assets when they leave college. So there's many positive effects, even though there's not a lot of money in those accounts.
You just said a lot of things. I want to try and pick out a couple of them. You said that this improves college expectations both among the parents and the children, meaning that just because they have an account with money in it, it makes kids more likely to plan to go to college. Is that what that means?
Absolutely. It gives them kind of a strategy or way of paying for college, and that increases their, you know, belief that they'll be able to go to college in the future. And these effects are strongest among low-income families, which shouldn't be surprising to us, given that higher-income families already have that expectation or belief that they'll have a way to pay for college and get to college, where for among the low-income families, they lack that, and these accounts help provide that.
So what is the return on investment for these city governments? Why would this idea be spreading among governments and cities around the country?
Well, because they also see this gap among low-income and minority families from going to college in the need to have a much more educated society. And we say college, but we really mean, you know, trade school, post-secondary education in general. And so these states, these cities really want to see their citizens be more educated and have more opportunities. And these accounts provide one avenue to doing that.
Meaning that if I wanted to become an esthetician or a cosmetologist or a mechanic, I can use these funds for that as well.
Absolutely. Once these infrastructures are in place, there's also the ability to bring outside money into the accounts beyond what the families are saving. So when you said the $3,000, we're talking about just, you know, what the interest will earn over time. But these accounts, once they're in place, we can think about employers, colleges, putting grants typically given to kids at 18 into their accounts early on, which also grow. So once these infrastructures are in place, we can think of a variety of ways to get money into these accounts to increase that asset.
So there's another program. Connecticut and D.C. launched programs to buy baby bonds for children. And we've seen places like New Jersey, Washington State, Massachusetts moving forward with similar programs. What's the difference between these college saving plans and baby bonds?
Basically, the infrastructure. So baby bonds are really thinking about wealth inequality, where the CSA programs originally were focused more on college enrollment and college success. And so given the focus on wealth inequality, the baby bonds tend to put far more money into the accounts up front and along the way so that the families have that asset when they leave.
Which all implies that maybe when someone's having a baby, buying them one of these accounts might be a better idea than getting them a set of baby booties.
Absolutely. And that's what we see in many cases, that families and their extended relatives and everything else can start thinking about putting money into these accounts.
Even as low as $50, that's a big difference.
And they can start thinking about college from birth, as we're typically in our country, we don't think about it until much later, 10th grade or whatever else. So these families are saving over time and having wealth being built over time.
William Elliott is a professor of social work at the University of Michigan. William, thank you so much.
You have a great day. Thank you, Celeste.